You know, when you look in the mirror every morning, you just see yourself, right?
Sure.
Like you see your eye color, your hair, your physical features, and it all feels very, I don't know, fixed, like it's just permanent.
Yeah, we tend to take it all for granted.
Totally.
Right.
But from a genetic standpoint, what you are actually looking at is a survival journal and not some pristine leather-bound journal either.
Oh, definitely not.
You are looking at a record that has been dropped in the mud, torn to pieces, and just like run through the chaotic churning blender of ancient human history.
Yeah, that is a highly accurate, if maybe slightly terrifying way to describe our DNA, because the genetic traits you carry today, they didn't just appear out of nowhere.
Right.
They survived millennia of population crashes, massive migrations, and just this constant turbulent blending of entirely different ancient peoples.
It's crazy to think about.
It really is. Every single piece of your biology is essentially a battle-tested survivor.
Which perfectly brings us to the core mission of this deep dive. Because today, we're exploring this brand new research article. It was published in the journal PNAS in April 2026, and it was led by Mariana Harris and her colleagues.
It's a fantastic paper.
It really is. We want to discover exactly which human genetic adaptations managed to survive that historical blender we just talked about. And more importantly, we're going to look at how this cutting-edge artificial intelligence finally allowed scientists to, well, read these hidden survival stories written in our DNA.
Yeah, it is just a remarkable piece of scientific detective work. But to really grasp the mystery they were trying to solve, we kind of have to look back over the last 7,000 years in Europe.
Set the scene for us.
Right. So this was a period of just unimaginable demographic upheaval. We are talking about the transition from small bands of mobile hunter-gatherers to these large sedentary farming societies.
Which is a huge shift.
Massive. That shift alone brought entirely new diets, incredibly close contact with domesticated animals, and naturally a massive surge in new deadly diseases.
Right, because everyone is living so close together now.
Exactly. And on top of that, you have these repeated waves of human migration sweeping across the continent, completely overturning the social and biological order. So tracing how humans physically adapted to all of this has historically been, well, nearly impossible.
Just because the evidence is so old.
Basically, yeah. The ancient DNA we pull from old bones is heavily degraded. It's a mess.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Okay.
Because the researchers in this study, they didn't just pull a couple of teeth and call it a day.
No, not at all.
They analyzed 708 ancient Eurasian genomes. And these span four incredibly distinct periods, right? You got the Neolithic period, the Bronze Age, the Iron Age, and the Historic period, which covers the Roman and late antique eras.
That's right.
And then, to give themselves a baseline, they actually compared all those ancient samples against 99 modern European genomes.
Yeah, and setting up that massive chronological timeline is crucial, but having the physical bone samples is really only the first hurdle here.
Because getting the DNA out is the hard part.
Well, reading ancient DNA, or ADNA, it's a completely different ballgame from swabbing a modern cheek and getting a nice, continuous genetic sequence.
I can imagine.
The data extracted from these 708 ancient individuals had an average missing data rate of 43%.
Wait, 43%?
Yeah, almost half of the genetic information is simply gone. It's decayed, contaminated, or just destroyed by time and the elements.
Oh, wow. So we're back to that journal analogy. Only now, it's a historical manuscript that has been put through a paper shredder, soaked in water, and half the words are just completely erased.
Exactly.
You're trying to piece together the plot of a novel where literally every other page is just blank.
Right. And to complicate your shredded manuscript analogy even further, human history is fundamentally defined by something called admixture.
Admixture.
Yeah. Admixture is simply the genetic term for what happens when two distinct populations meet and, you know, mix their genetics together.
Right. That makes sense.
And when you combine admixture with genetic drift, which is just the random chance fluctuation of gene frequencies over time, the genetic footprints of our past adaptations get severely diluted.
Like footprints washing away on a beach.
That's a great way to put it. In genetics, we call the footprint of a highly beneficial adaptation a selective sweep. But constant admixture and random genetic drift, they mask those sweeps. They essentially smear the ink on whatever words are actually left in our damaged manuscript.
Okay, but I have to push back here for a second. If 43% of the data is completely missing, and the populations themselves keep migrating, mixing, and changing the underlying genetic background, how can any computer model possibly know what a true evolutionary footprint looks like?
It's a great question.
I mean, how do you differentiate a missing puzzle piece from a piece of the puzzle that was intentionally removed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels like the model would just be guessing at shadows.
Yeah, that raises an important point, and it highlights the exact roadblock that has stalled this field for years. Traditional computer models, and even standard deep learning models, they're trained on simulated data.
Meaning fake, perfect data.
Exactly. Scientists build clean, mathematically perfect genetic simulations of what evolution should look like, and they train the computer to recognize those patterns.
Okay.
The fatal flaw happens when they take that model and point it at the messy 43% missing reality of ancient DNA.
It just breaks down.
Completely. The model falls apart. It suffers from a problem known in computer science as simulation misspecification.
Simulation misspecification. So the computer basically looks at the real world dirt and says, this doesn't look like the textbook I read, so I have no idea what I'm looking at.
Precisely. The simulation is the textbook, and the ancient DNA is a muddy footprint in the woods. The gap between those two domains is just too wide. And this is where the researchers introduced their solution, the DAN.
Which stands for Domain Adaptive Neural Network.
Right. Instead of trying to find cleaner ancient DNA, which is physically impossible, obviously they built a smarter filter, the DAN is engineered specifically to overcome simulation misspecification by learning to effectively ignore the noise.
And the mechanics of how they achieve this are just fascinating. They use something called a gradient reversal layer, or GRL.
Yes.
Because normally an AI gets a reward, like a mathematical pat on the back, when it successfully spots a difference between two things, right?
Yes. To really understand the gradient reversal layer, think about how facial recognition AI is typically trained.
Okay.
A standard facial recognition model might be trained on high-quality, perfectly lit studio photographs. Those studio photos are the source domain.
Makes sense.
But in the real world, the AI needs to identify people from blurry, low-quality, weirdly angled surveillance footage, and that's the target domain. If it only knows how to analyze studio lighting, it fails entirely on the street.
Because it's too used to the perfect conditions.
Right. So domain adaptation forces the AI to look deeper than the lighting or the camera quality.
Right. And in this study, the clean simulation is the studio photo, and the degraded ancient DNA is the blurry surveillance tape.
Exactly.
So the DNN splits its processing into two branches. One branch is doing the actual science. It's trying to classify whether a piece of genetic data is a selective sweep or not.
Yes.
But the second branch is just a discriminator. Its entire job is to guess whether the data it's looking at is the pristine simulation or the real messy ancient DNA.
And this is where it gets brilliant. The gradient reversal layer then does something deeply counterintuitive. It penalizes the entire neural network if that second branch can successfully tell the difference between the simulation and the real DNA.
That is so wild.
It flips the mathematical reward system backwards. The AI literally loses points for noticing the missing data gaps or the noise.
So it forces the computer to literally squint so hard it stops seeing the dirt.
Yeah.
Like it learns to unlearn the superficial differences between the domains, leaving it with no choice but to focus entirely on the underlying biological architecture.
Exactly. It strips away the domain mismatch entirely. The AI is left focusing solely on the deep domain invariant features that actually signal an evolutionary adaptation. And I should add, the format of the data it's analyzing is just as innovative.
Oh, wow, this part.
The researchers didn't feed the Dremin traditional human-made summary statistics. They converted the raw genetic data into visual matrices.
This blew my mind. They literally turned DNA into images. Specifically, images of haplotypes, sorted by frequency.
Yeah, and we should probably clarify what a haplotype is because it's central to how the AI sees the data.
Go for it.
Think of a haplotype as a genetic combo deal. It is a cluster of specific genetic variations that are located very close together on a single chromosome. Because they are so physically close, they almost always get inherited together from a single parent.
So instead of looking at like individual fries or a single burger, the AI is scanning the receipt for the whole combo meal.
Oh, exactly.
And the researchers turn those combo meals into pixels, creating these massive visual barcodes of human DNA. The AI scans these massive images, looking for visual patterns of evolution that the human eye could never catch in a giant spreadsheet.
So after the Danon cleans the lens, successfully reads these shredded missing pages, and scans the barcodes, we finally arrive at the results. And this is where the biological story of our ancestors comes into really sharp focus.
What did it find?
The Danon detected 48 unique ancient selective sweeps across these populations over the last 7,000 years.
And 16 of those were already known to science, but 32 of them were totally novel, never before seen. Evolutionary adaptations, that's a huge leap.
It really is. But what's fascinating here is not just the number of sweeps, but the specific type of evolution that Danon found.
Yep.
Out of those 48 unique adaptations, the AI classified every single one of them as a hard sweep.
We definitely need to define that, because the distinction between hard and soft sweeps completely changes the narrative of human history.
It does. So a hard sweep occurs when a single, brand new, highly beneficial genetic mutation happens in one specific individual.
Just one person.
Just one. And because that new mutation provides such a massive, life-altering survival advantage, it rapidly spreads through the entire population over subsequent generations. And because it all traces back to that one original mutation, it leaves a very distinct, identical genetic signature in everyone who inherits it.
Right. And a soft sweep.
A soft sweep is a completely different mechanism. That happens when a population already has a lot of diverse genetic variants floating around in the background. Suddenly, the environment changes, and several of those existing slightly different variants all become highly beneficial at the exact same time.
Well, they all rise up together.
Exactly. They all rise in frequency simultaneously, leaving a much messier, more subtle signature.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Think of a hard sweep, like a small isolated village that has been, I don't know, hauling water by hand for centuries. They are struggling, just waiting generations for one single genius to invent the wheel. The day the wheel is finally invented, it's such an incredible advantage that everyone immediately copies that exact same wheel design. That one specific design sweeps the entire village.
That's a great analogy.
But a soft sweep is more like a massive modern city. If a new problem arises, 50 different engineers in 50 different garages might all invent slightly different versions of the wheel on the exact same day, simply because the gears and axles were already lying around in their toolboxes.
That analogy perfectly illustrates why the Danon only found hard sweeps in our ancient ancestors. If we connect this to the bigger picture, hard sweeps dominate when human populations are historically very small.
Which they were back then.
Very much so. For most of the past 7,000 years, the effective population size of these ancient European groups was incredibly low, often hovering around just 10,000 individuals.
An effective population size, just to be clear, doesn't mean the total census of every human alive. It means the dating pool. Like, the number of people actually breeding and passing on genetics.
Exactly. It's a measure of genetic diversity. With an effective population size of only 10,000, the genetic reservoir is incredibly shallow. These ancient groups didn't have the parts lying around in their garages, to use your analogy.
Right.
They didn't have a massive reservoir of standing genetic variation to rely on when the environment changed. Their evolution was largely mutation limited. They were essentially sitting around waiting for that rare lightning strike mutation to happen.
Just waiting for the wheel.
Right. And when a beneficial mutation finally did occur, say, a gene that helped process a new agricultural food or survive an unprecedented pathogen, it swept hard and fast through the population.
And the researchers even put this to the test, right? Just to ensure the AI wasn't just blind to soft sweeps, they ran the DNN on fruit fly genetics, a species that breeds in the billions and is famously known to experience soft sweeps.
Yes, and the AI caught the soft sweeps in the flies perfectly.
So the fact that it only found hard sweeps in ancient humans isn't a glitch in the code. It is a profound biological reality about how vulnerable and small our ancestral populations really were.
Exactly. So we have these small, isolated populations. Their entire evolutionary trajectory is relying on incredibly rare, hard-won genetic lightning strikes. And then a massive demographic plot twist happens roughly 4,500 years ago during the transition into the Bronze Age.
the steppe pastoralists away.
Yes. This is one of the most dramatic demographic events in human history. We see a massive migration of nomadic herders from the Eurasian steppes moving west into Europe, mixing with the local Neolithic farmers.
And this wasn't just a friendly cultural exchange.
No, not a minor cultural exchange at all. This admixture event was so profound that it replaced an estimated 33% of the local European ancestry.
Wow. Think about what a 33% genetic replacement means for those rare, precious mutations. You have a small village that finally got the wheel. Then suddenly, a massive influx of thousands of newcomers moves in, bringing entirely different genetics and diluting the local gene pool. You would expect those rare, hard-won sweeps to just get washed away in the genetic flood.
And the data shows that many of them were washed away. The researchers found 35 different genetic sweeps that were clearly detectable in the early Neolithic and Copper Age periods, but they completely vanished after this Bronze Age admixture event.
Just totally gone.
Yep. The sheer volume of new DNA combined with genetic drift completely erased them from the map. But the day-in revealed something incredible. Out of the 48 sweeps detected, 14 hard sweeps survived.
They made it through.
They persisted from the very earliest ancient periods, straight through the massive dilution of the Bronze Age population turnover, all the way into modern times. The most frequent beneficial haplotype, that specific winning genetic combo meal, survived the blender.
So what does this all mean? If a specific trait survives an entire population being heavily diluted by an overwhelming wave of newcomers, did those genes just get incredibly lucky? Or was the environment actively punishing anyone who didn't carry them?
Well, the loss of the other 35 sweeps proves that admixture and drift are incredibly powerful erasing forces. Luck simply doesn't cut it over 4,500 years of genetic turnover.
So it was the environment.
Absolutely. For those 14 specific traits to survive, the evolutionary pressure keeping them there had to be intense, sustained, and absolutely unforgiving. The environment was strongly selecting for these traits, ensuring that even as the population's overall genetic makeup drastically shifted, these specific survival tools were heavily prioritized.
And looking at what those 14 surviving traits are, it really gives us a window into what the ancient world actually demanded of our ancestors.
Oh, totally.
Like, several of the surviving sweeps are directly tied to pigmentation. We were talking about genes like OCA2 and HRC2, which are strongly associated with light eye color, and the KEYTLG gene, which drives light hair and skin. These traits were present in the earliest periods and stubbornly held on through every single migration.
And the survival of those pigmentation genes tells a really compelling story about environment and diet. Early European hunter-gatherers often had much darker skin because their diet, which was rich in fish and wild game, provided plenty of vitamin D.
Okay, that makes sense.
But as these populations transitioned to early farming, their diet shifted heavily toward grains, which fundamentally lack vitamin D. And in the cloudy, low-light environments of northern latitudes, humans synthesize vitamin D through their skin via sunlight.
Right, so if you are eating grain and living under cloud cover, darker skin suddenly becomes a severe disadvantage because it blocks the UV light you need to produce vitamin D.
Yeah.
You start seeing bone deformities like rickets, which drastically impacts your ability to survive and reproduce. The environment demanded lighter skin and eyes to absorb maximum sunlight, so those specific mutations became an absolute biological necessity.
Yeah, you see the pressure there. And the DNN also highlighted the survival of genes related to neurological and cognitive functions, specifically pointing to the AUTS2 gene.
That's interesting.
It is. While we can't pinpoint the exact daily stressor, the persistence of cognitive-related genes through massive societal shifts suggests they played a fundamental role in human adaptability.
Like adapting to new social structures.
Yeah. The transition from small, egalitarian hunter-gatherer bands to dense, complex, stratified agricultural societies required processing entirely new social dynamics, denser communication, and different types of hierarchical stress.
So the brain literally had to rewire itself to survive the invention of the city.
Essentially, yes. And that environmental timeline brings us to perhaps the most famous genetic adaptation in human history, the lactase persistence gene, or LCT.
Oh, right, the milk gene.
Exactly. This is the mutation that allows adult humans to digest the lactose in milk without getting sick.
And the LCT gene is a brilliant counterexample of how specific the timing of evolution can be, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because while the pigmentation and cognitive genes survived through the Bronze Age admixture event, the AI confirmed that the sweep for lactase persistence didn't exist in the deep past. It only appeared after the arrival of the steppe pastoralists.
And the timing is perfectly logical. The local Neolithic farmers didn't have a massive reliance on dairy, but the steppe pastoralists brought herds of cattle and a deep cultural reliance on mobile food sources.
Oh.
So suddenly the environment shifted. If crops failed, the ability to drink raw cow's milk without debilitating gastrointestinal distress became the ultimate difference between life and death. The environmental pressure changed, and then the hard sweep occurred, dominating the later historic and modern periods. It really shows how incredibly dynamic and localized our genetic landscape is.
It's honestly like watching an epic saga written into the margins of a ruined book. I mean, we started this deep dive looking at messy, fragmented ancient bones, dealing with 43% missing data. Any normal computer model would have just thrown an error code and given up.
Yeah, they did give up for a long time.
But through the incredible engineering of a domain-adaptive neural network, an AI that was mathematically penalized until it learned to see past the noise and the missing pages, we've been able to uncover this hidden history.
We really moved from staring at a blurry, water-damaged manuscript to reading the exact chapters where our ancestors narrowly adapted to survive.
That's amazing.
We learned that for most of our history, our effective population was so small that we were entirely dependent on rare random mutations, these hard sweeps, to save us from changing diets and new diseases.
Right.
And we learned that while massive migrations erased dozens of those adaptations, a vital core of 14 genetic traits fought through the chaos of admixture to become permanent fixtures in our biology.
It completely reframes how you should look at yourself. Every single cell in your body is essentially a walking museum. You aren't just carrying generic DNA. You're carrying around these tiny, hard-won evolutionary lotteries that somehow survive millennia of migrations, population crashes, and genetic blending.
Yeah, and if we take all of this and look forward, it leads to a rather profound realization, I think.
Oh, what's that?
Well, this research proves that our past evolution was dominated by hard sweeps, specifically because our ancestors lived in isolated, shallow genetic pools of maybe 10,000 breeding people, just waiting for a rare genetic spark.
Right.
But today, the human population is not 10,000, it is over 8 billion. We are hyper-connected, highly mobile, and our genetics are constantly mixing on a massive global scale.
That's true.
Our genetic reservoir has never been deeper. So if our entire ancient history was defined by the slow, rare sparks of hard sweeps in small villages, what entirely new, unprecedented kind of evolution is happening inside us right now in a global city of 8 billion people?
Yeah. Wow. That is a wild thought to leave on. I mean, the next time you look in that mirror, remember, you aren't just looking at the survivor of an ancient genetic blender. You are looking at the very beginning of whatever humanity is becoming next.
We found the past in broken light, thin threads of code in grainy night. Old patterns blink on lab blue screens, a signature behind the seams. Mixing tires can blur a face, drift can steal its honest trace, but some lines refuse to fade. Lightning's the bloodstream never gave. Heart sweep, long memory, hold that shape. One strong story, no stone can scrape. Through the merge, through the noise, it still breaks through. A single winning line that the ages keep. We trained our mind on worlds we made, on simulated storms and shade. Then taught it when the data's torn, still see the signal being worn. Not every rise is soft and wide. Some doors slam shut, one key inside. Timelines blend, that one bright chord can still defend. Heart sweep, long memory, hold that shape. Across new blood, it won't escape. From ancient hands to to now, it pulls us through.